Let's start off in Job. We will be in a number of different scriptures tonight. This will probably be a little bit more of a Bible study than a sermon. But let's go to Job, and let's go to Job chapter 14. And I will warn you about this message. It will be a little rough to begin with, but there will be a good ending, I promise you. So stick with me. It'll be just a little bit tough at the first couple points here. So Job 14, and you will quickly, most likely you will be able to notice where we're going with this. So go to Job 14. By the way, Job, oldest book in your Bible. Do you know that? So there's some things in Job that pertain to creation. There's some things in Job that have a lot to do with science. And whenever it speaks on those things, it's 100% right, 100% accurate. So even though it's old, doesn't mean it's out of date. It's right up, actually is more up to date than the science textbooks. So look at Job 14, look at verse 7. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Okay, before I read the next verse, we'll read verse 10, but before I read that, the subject here, this context, is talking about a tree, and what happens to that tree in verse 7? It's cut down. But just because a tree is cut down, does that mean that there's no more tree? No. And if you, there's some science in the verses we read there. It mentions the stock. It mentions how the scent of water, through the scent of water, it will bud. So it actually comes back after you cut it down. So then, with that in mind, look at verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? You see that question at the end there? The idea is, where is man after he dies? And this is the only book that can tell you the answer, and it's correct. Nothing against the Muslims. They don't have things right because they don't have an authoritative book like you and I, but their book does not tell what happens to a person after they die. They have no idea. You probably talk to folks, I don't really have to name the groups, but there's folks I've talked to that are very religious, yet you ask them what happens after they die, and they say, I don't know. Your Bible tells you what happens after death. So that's where we're going tonight. Skip down to verse 14. Same chapter. If a man die, shall he live again? What's the answer to that question if you know a little bit about your Bible? The answer to that question is yes, and I will show that to you tonight. It goes on to say, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Well, Job indicates that death is not the end. And I'll show you a bunch of scriptures tonight. Death is not the end. And that's the title of the message here tonight. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us with this. And like I said, it'll probably be a little rough at first. Nobody likes talking about death, do they? But we need to talk about death. And I'm going to tell you why. I and you need to be prepared for death. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. According to the book of James, our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. And we may not like to think about death, but we need to think about death. So let's ask the Lord to help us with this tonight, and we'll dive in here, do a little Bible study, all right? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words and how we can always trust them. Every time we open this book, we know that we have the truth. And I am completely incapable, and all of the folks that are here are completely incapable of anything happening tonight that would be worthwhile unless you do it. We can't do it on our own. And we are asking for you to put light on these verses that we're going to look at tonight. May it be very plain and clear to us what your word says. May we not try to make it say something that we want, but truly just take it as it is and believe it. And I pray that you'd encourage folks tonight. I pray that you would convict folks tonight. No, you do the work, Lord, whatever you see fit. We want eternal work to be accomplished here tonight, and we're asking you to do that. And we pray that you would truly have the preeminence in this message, and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's talk, first off, I'm going to jump right into this, why people die. Why death? Why does it happen? And while you're turning, go over to Genesis chapter 2. While you're turning over there, I'll tell you a little story. I had the great privilege of growing up in a pastor's home. And my first ever encounter with death, as far as knowing somebody that died, I guess I was probably 5 or 6 years old. And my dad took me to the hospital to see a man that was in our church. I will never forget this. You know how certain memories are just so clear, even though they were a long time ago. This is one of those for me. We went to see a man that went to our church, and he was an older man. His name was Alan Compton. So we go see Brother Alan in the hospital, and I will never forget seeing him and hearing him talk about how he might not make it. And he was 100% okay with that. That left a mark on me as a little boy, that here is an older man that is having some medical issues, and he's not a bit worried about dying. Now, you know why? That man knew Jesus Christ as a Savior, and he knew, and I will show you all the Scriptures tonight, not all the Scriptures, but I'll show you some of the Scriptures. He knew that if he was to die, he would be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he was looking forward to that. So, some time passed, and Brother Alan passed away. And I remember my dad saying something like, "Alan's with the Lord." And I said, "He sure is." And he was looking forward to that. And he knew where he was going whenever he died, and he was all right with that. That left a real impression on me as a little boy, that somebody could be that confident that when they died, they would be with the Lord. Now, where did Brother Alan's confidence come from? Why was he okay with dying? He believed his Bible. He believed that Christ died for his sins and rose again, and his trust was only in Jesus Christ. And he was fine with dying because he knew that he'd be in heaven with the Lord. So let me backtrack a little bit, and let's talk about why is it that people die? If you drive by a cemetery, it's a sad thing to look and see all these gravestones marking the place where somebody who died was buried. It's a sad thing, but let's be real. A lot of people today in our world don't want to deal with reality, but this is reality, folks, that people die. People live and people die. So why is that? Genesis 2:7. Let's talk about where life comes from and then how death comes about. So why do people die? Point number one, Genesis 2:7. The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So when I read that verse, I notice that life is directly related with breath. Y'all see that? So when a person dies, what's the indication that they are either dying or have passed away? How many know CPR? Anybody know CPR? Several. Okay. One of the things they tell you to do is look, listen, and feel if you got somebody who's unconscious. Aunt Tracy, you help me out here if I get something wrong here, being the medical expert. But what you do is you listen to see if you can hear the air, and you also look to see if you can see the chest coming up and down. And then you feel to see if they got a pulse. Now, isn't that interesting? Look, listen, feel. You're listening for the air, you're looking to see the chest rise, and you get the pulse. And there's a direct relationship between the pulse and breath. So a little biology lesson here. Miley, here we go. On Sunday night, you get a biology lesson. You don't have to wait till Monday morning to get it. So blood carries something very important. What is it? Oxygen. So if blood stops pumping, if the heart stops pumping blood, sooner or later, what's going to happen? No breath. So there's a direct relationship between breath and life, and then let's go a little further, air, oxygen, and blood. In fact, Leviticus, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and here we have the breath of life. So y'all see that connection there? That's just from a medical standpoint. So go over to Genesis 2, verse 16, and let's take a look at the first time the word die is ever mentioned in your Bible. Genesis 2:16. "And the Lord God commanded the man," this is God telling Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely... Okay, so God told Adam, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what will happen? Help me out. He would die. Genesis chapter 3, we're not going to go through that because I just want to save a little time, and most of you know it, but what happens in chapter 3? They did the very thing that they were told not to do. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God's word is true, so if God said you'll die from eating of that tree, what happened to Adam and Eve, folks? Okay, so let's go to the what I like to call the obituary chapter of your Bible, Genesis 5. 5 in your Bible is often connected with death. So let's go to Genesis 5. And you will see the account of a whole lot of people dying. Now, I know this may not be exciting or may not be encouraging, maybe I should say. But this is reality. So let's get through the tough stuff first here because it's true. Genesis 5. If you look down there at verse 5, look what happens. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And what happened? And he died. Now, knowing that God said in Genesis 2, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And seeing that Adam died in Genesis 5:5, we can put two and two together and realize Adam broke God's law. Adam broke the command. He disobeyed the command. And what do we call disobedience of God's commands? Help me out. Sin, yes. Adam and Eve sinned, and therefore they died. Now, not only did Adam and Eve sin, look who else sinned. And you know this because of what happens. Look at verse 8. And all the days of Seth, that's one of Adam and Eve's sons, were 912 years. And what happened? How come he died? Well, Adam and Eve sinned, and then they had children. And those kids were born with a sin nature, which means nobody had to teach them how to sin. Now, we got some children here. I wonder if they would be honest and say, who taught you how to disobey commands given to you by your mom and dad or your teacher? Who taught you to do that? Help me out, kids. There you go. He's going like this. Nobody taught him. Nobody taught you. Think about it. Nobody taught you. You knew. Now, this is little cute little six-year-old, 5 or 6-year-old Michael Rockwell. I used to be cute, believe it or not. Show you the pictures. But way back. Even though I might have been a cute little boy, and I could look around here, and I'm sure all of you had cute little pictures of yourself when you were a kid, as a little 5 or 6-year-old boy, let me just give you an example. Nobody taught me this. I figured this out on my own. I had an older sister. And I figured out that I could place the blame for things I did on older sister, and mom and dad would believe me instead of her. Now, if we got some siblings in here, you're probably thinking, I know how that goes. But I figured that out. As a 5 or 6-year-old little boy, I figured that out. How wicked was I as a 5 or 6-year-old little boy? That's pretty wicked. You know why that was the case? Because I was born a sinner. I love my mom and dad. I think they're great people. Guess what? You know what they gave me? A sin nature. Me being born into that family, I was born into a family of sinners. So the reason why people die is because the wages of sin is death. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. All right, so let's go over. Look at this chapter here real quick. Every so many verses, I think it's every 3 verses, somebody dies. Look at verse 11. All the days of Enos were 905 years. And what happened? And he died. Verse 14, all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And he died. Okay, let's go over to the... Keep your finger in Genesis. We will be back. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to the book of Romans. I quoted the verse, but let me show you that one and a couple more. Go to Romans chapter 3 to start off with. We're going to come back to Genesis here for the second point, but let's wrap up this one first. Why people die? Let me show you from the Bible. Let's just make sure it's very clear. Why do people die? Romans chapter 3. In the last year and a half now, people say, oh, they died of COVID. Well, that might have been the reason why they finally gave in to death and no longer are alive, but let's see what the Bible says about why people actually die. Look at verse 23. I'm in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For, next word? All have what? Is that you? Now, you might be thinking to yourself, he's not being very nice. Because me saying that I am a sinner is negative. And the world doesn't like you to be negative about anything, do they? The world loves positive, positive, positive. But folks, can we just deal with reality tonight? All people are sinners. So if that's the case, and the Bible says it is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Go to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. And let's go to the last verse in Romans 6, verse 23. Notice you got the first half of this verse will be some bad news, but then there's some good news as well. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is what? Why, according to God's word, do people die, folks? Sin is the reason for death. Now, point number one, why do people die? People die because they are sinners. If we stop right here, pretty lousy message the preacher has tonight, wouldn't you say? We're not stopping there. But we got a little bit to go through here. But I do want to read the rest of the verse, though, because it's a dynamite verse. The first half of the verse is it's tough, but it's true. The wages of sin is death. And notice the word, but the gift of God is eternal life. And how do you get that? What's it say, folks? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I'm going to kind of skip to the end and then we'll come back here. You know that Jesus Christ died? Hold on a second. What kind of people are supposed to die? Sinners. Is the Lord Jesus Christ a sinner? That means he didn't have to die. That means he willingly died, paying for your sins and mine. And they buried him. That's what you do with somebody when they die. But he didn't stay in the grave, did he? 3 days and three nights, and then the best news on planet Earth came from a graveyard. Because he was no longer in the graveyard, no longer in the tomb. He rose again. And he has provided eternal life so that you can die physically, but that's not it. There's something better if you die physically, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So I'm kind of skipping to the end, and I'll say some more about that at the end. But let's kind of back up here. Point number one, why do people die? Hopefully you understand. People die because what? They're sinners. Now, I know this may be very basic, that particularly that point. But how about this one? What exactly happens when a person dies? Let's get the Bible on this. Now, go back to Genesis 25. Now, you can go to the bookstore. Go to Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, one of those places. You go to the shelf, go to the bookshelf. And I'm sure you can find some books on, and there's actually a whole bunch of them. There's books on people who had supposedly had these experiences of dying and going to heaven, and they write books about it. There's one fella, I think he was a neurosurgeon, who wrote a book about how he died and went to hell, believe it or not. There's a whole lot more books on people going to heaven than hell. Now, when I read those books or I see those books, I have to think, how do I know they're telling the truth? Folks, in the modern day we live in, and I know that Miss Katie and Aunt Tracy can back this up, when people are on their deathbed, they are heavily medicated oftentimes, right? Am I right about that? Usually to take away pain. And do you know what happens when a person's heavily medicated? They happen to be in a state where they are not thinking very clearly. And I'll tell you this, folks, I've never been heavily medicated. But I've taken Zyrtec. You ever take that stuff? I took it a couple of times for my allergies a long time ago. And I had the most crazy, weird, disturbing dreams from taking that stuff. I'm not taking that stuff anymore. If that's low on the medication scale, and when you're on your deathbed, somebody's on their deathbed and they heavily medicate them, you can imagine the brain is doing some very odd things. So this is me personally. I don't believe those books that people write about after-death experiences. And I'm going to tell you why. I'll take what the Bible says, because this is the Word of God versus the Word of man. So I'll take what God says. So let's talk about this. Why do people die? Because they're sinners? Well, what exactly happens when a person dies? Now go to Genesis 25. And I want you to notice something. If you read through Genesis, you'll see this. I'll show this to you like two or three times. And it's kind of like, what's going on there? Let's try to put some pieces together. Genesis 25. This is the death of Abraham. Verse 7. Genesis 25, verse 7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, and 153 years. Look at verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and what? And died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years. Now watch this part. And was gathered to his people. After he died, what happened to him according to the Bible, folks? What's it say? He's gathered to his people. What do you do with a person whenever they die? And they did this in Old Testament times. They buried him. How is he gathered to his people if he's dead? Well, stay with me here. Go over to Genesis chapter, a few verses over. Oh, same chapter, a few verses down. Verse 17, look at this. Genesis 25, verse 17. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael. And 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died. And look at this. What happened to him? He was gathered unto his people. What is that all about? I will tell you from reading those two verses, it sounds to me like when a person dies, they do not cease to exist. That's what it sounds like to me according to the Scriptures. I'll give you more. Go to Genesis 49. Now this is the death of Jacob, remember his name was changed to Israel. Go to Genesis 49. Genesis chapter 49, look at verse 28, towards the end of the chapter there. 49, 28. Genesis 49, 28, and it says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, everyone according to his blessing. He blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be what? Gathered unto my people. Now he says, I am to be, so he hadn't been yet. But he says, bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. Okay, skip down to verse 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was what? Are you seeing this? People are dying. Physically, they are dead. But what is indicated by what it says there? Gathered unto their people. There's something after they die. So let's talk about what that is. Go to Genesis. I want you to go backwards on this one. Go to Genesis 35. Genesis 35. So let's see what exactly happens. Well, so far, at death, we know that it is not the end of a person's existence. And that's from the Scriptures. Let's get a little more specific. Genesis 35. And by the way, as you read through your Bible, God will give you these little details. The Holy Spirit records the little details that you're just kind of reading through, and then He'll stop you and say, hey, pay attention to that. And oftentimes, the little details that are really important are in parentheses. Y'all ever notice that? John 1:14. You don't need to turn there, but the whole verse is in parentheses. You know what the verse says? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Whoa! That's a verse we could preach on for a long time, and it's in parentheses. The reason I say that is because when I was a kid, you get to understand the use of parentheses, and you actually can skip the parentheses, and the sentence still makes sense, doesn't it? But the parentheses will give you details that oftentimes are very important. Watch what's in parentheses here, and you better believe it's important. Genesis 35, look at verse 15. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. So again, Jacob he has a couple different wives here, a few different wives. This one is Rachel, and she's about to give birth. So let's see what happens. Verse 17. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwives said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. Now watch verse 18, very, very important. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, what's in parentheses? For she died. That she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Now that verse right there, verse 18, is loaded. That verse tells you specifically what happens when a person dies. Do you see it? Verse 18 again. And it came to pass, as her soul was in what? Departing, for she died. According to that verse, folks, when a person dies, their soul leaves their body. I'm not trying to be morbid here, but this is true. If you've been to a funeral and they have a visitation prior to the funeral, you'll go and they'll sometimes have what they call open casket. And you go and you look at that person laying in that casket. And I remember, I can't remember who it was, but I do remember the first time this ever happened to me, where I went to one of these situations, one of these services where this was a situation. And I remember looking at that person thinking to myself, that is not that person. It's the person's body. Don't get me wrong. It is. But something's missing. And you know what's missing? Their soul. So it looks like that person, but it's really, there's something missing, and what's missing is the soul of that person. And that's why there's no life in that person. Because at death, according to the Bible, according to God's Word, the soul leaves the body at death. Let me give you another one on this. Don't want to just go on one scripture on this. Let me give you another one. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Again, little detail. You're reading through your Bible, pay attention to these things. 1 Kings 17. This is the account of Elijah is called to the scene where a woman's son has died. And watch the little detail that you find when you really pay close attention to what you're reading here in the Scripture. So Elijah is called to the scene. Elijah's a prophet. God's given him the ability to perform miracles by God's power. And look what happens here. Elijah begins to pray here. And he says in verse 20, take a look at this. 1 Kings 17, look at verse 20. This is Elijah praying. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? He's asking the question there. So this boy is dead. Now watch what happens next. Verse 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Okay, at death, the soul leaves the body. So when Elijah prays that the boy's soul would enter back into his body, what's he praying? That he'll have life again. So let's see if Elijah's prayer gets answered. Look at verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. So what happened, folks? This little boy really did die. And at death, the soul leaves the body. Elijah prays that the Lord will raise this boy from the dead, and the boy's soul comes back. And what's he got now? He's got life again. Read verse 23, just in case you don't believe it. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See thy son liveth. So notice there, when a person dies, the soul leaves the body. Are you with me on that? Let's go to the New Testament, Luke 16. While we're going over there, I will tell you, there is no such thing, according to your Bible, there's no such thing as what they call annihilation. In other words, you would just cease to exist when you die. That is not in the Bible. You're here tonight, you're alive. If you were to die, your body would no longer have life. But you don't cease You do continue on. It's not like you cease to exist. Are you with me? Now, I'll get to what specifically happens to that soul here in Luke 16. So take a look. Luke 16, verse 20. Now, you ought to be familiar with this. You've been here for a while. Luke 16, verse 20. And there was a... back up to verse 19, actually. 19 to give us the idea of what's happened. 16:19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Okay, so you got two men here. You got a rich man, unnamed, just called the rich man, and you got a fellow named Lazarus. So let's see what happens. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar, what happened to him? Died. Look what happens though. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. All right, so the idea there is, at death, the body no longer has life in it. But what happens after a person dies? What happens, folks? We just saw it. The soul leaves the body. And notice in this case, with Lazarus, this beggar, the angels carry him to a place called Abraham's bosom. And that's a whole another message we won't get into. But let's take a look at the rich man. Verse 22, it says, the rich man also died and was buried. Now, that's an interesting note that the Holy Spirit put there. He dies and was buried. And then the next verse, verse 23. And in where? Hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So notice that both of these men die, and at death the soul leaves the body. And notice that these two men, one man's soul ends up in hell, and the other man's soul ends up in a different place, Abraham's bosom. Notice something, if you read the rest of this, you'll notice that they're talking back and forth, and it sure does seem like the soul has a whole lot in common with, help me out, the body, yet your soul and my soul are not the same as our body. Your soul would be, for lack of a better term, I think you'll understand this, it is like an eternal body. It's not your body. It's what continues after you die. But it, if you read this passage here, just for time's sake, we won't. It can see. It can feel. It can taste. And you see all the similarities between a physical body and what I would call a spiritual body, which would be the soul. Just as real, folks. So at death, the soul leaves the body, and at death, the soul goes somewhere, doesn't it? Let's see what happens here. Let's go over to John chapter 5. Now, let's get this last point here. So far, we've seen why people die. We've seen people die because they're sinners. Second thing we see is what happens specifically when people die. The soul leaves the body. Now, let's talk about where a soul can end up after death. So go over to John chapter 5, and let's see if this verse applies to you. Well, it is going to apply to you in one way or another. So let's take a look. John 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto what? Now, there's a couple different things I see in that verse. It says that you could, according to that verse, come into condemnation after you die. You also could have something way better than that after you die. What is it? Everlasting life. So how does a person get everlasting life so that when the physical body dies, they continue on with Jesus Christ in heaven? How does that happen? Folks, don't take my word. Look at your Bible. Look what the verse says here. He that heareth my word. Now, have you heard God's word tonight? Look what else it says. And what's the next word? Believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. He says, if you believe on Him, knowing what He did for you through His death, burial, and resurrection, if you've called on Him to be your Savior, believing on Him, what do you have right now, folks? So, if you die, your physical body will have no life. But your soul will leave your body, and where will your soul be? It will be with Jesus Christ in heaven. Let me prove that to you. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. You say, I don't know if I believe all that. Don't take my word for it. Please, go look at your Bible. 2 Corinthians 5. A couple verses here in closing. 2 Corinthians 5. Now, these are the words of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of God. And look what he says here. Some things here that Paul wrote that ought to be really, really neat for me and you. If you know Jesus Christ, it's really neat. I'll tell you that. Look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. You know there? No? I'll wait for you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from who? Okay, let's stop there. We'll come back, but we'll stop. At this very moment, according to that verse, if you're in this room, you're at home in the body. What's that mean? Your soul is inside your body right now. And if that's the case, you are absent from who? Okay, so if you're here this morning in Sunday school, where is the Lord right now? He's in heaven. Where are you right now? You're on earth. You're in a good place on earth, but you're on earth nevertheless. That means, since I am down here and He is up there, I am absent from Him. Right? Let's keep going. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now watch verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with who? What does he mean there in verse 8 when he says absent from the body? That'd be death. If you die, your soul is absent from your body. Remember, folks, the soul is a part of you and me that lives forever. So it says there, if you are absent from your body, if you die, if you know Jesus Christ, where are you? You are with Him. It says present with the Lord, and He's in heaven right now, isn't He? Now, notice here, this is Paul writing. He says, verse 6, we are confident. We are always confident. Verse 8, we are confident. You know who Paul had confidence in? He had confidence in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for him. And because of that, he had no doubt. He was 100% certain that if he died, he would be with Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. This is a personal question. You don't have to answer out loud. This is just you dealing with the Lord. Are you confident at this very moment? I mean, right now. Are you confident that if you were to die, you would be absent from your body, no doubt, but would you be present with the Lord? Now, how do you know? A person might say, yeah, I come to church all the time, therefore I would be present with the Lord. Wrong answer! You say, I try to do my best. I try to follow the Ten Commandments. I do the best I can, and I'm better than most. I'll be with the Lord. Wrong answer! I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you what the Bible says here. We're all sinners. We all deserve to die and go to hell. That's what we deserve. But Jesus Christ, who did not deserve to die, died in your place and paid the price for your sins and rose again so that if you're trusting in what He did and only Him, not yourself, but what He did, you can be saved and you can know for sure you have a home in heaven when you die. See, it's not about you. It's not about what you can do or can't do. It's about what Jesus Christ did for you. Now, check this out. I said Paul was confident. Let me show you some more on this. Go to Philippians. Now, this ought to be an encouragement to you if you know Jesus Christ. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. And a couple things here. Look what Paul says here. See if you can identify with this. Philippians 1, go down there to verse 21. Philippians 1:21. And it says, this is Paul writing here. He says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is what?" You mean he was okay with dying? If he says to die is gain, that means it's better. He was saying it would be better if he was not in his body, right? Say, how does he know that? Well, look what he says here, verse 22. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not." Watch verse 23, very interesting. "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with who? Which is far better." Now, I'm glad you're in church tonight, but you know what would be a better place for all of us? Yeah. Now, notice that Paul said here in the next verse, he kind of dispels some of the things that maybe some of you might be thinking here. If he says, "I'm okay with dying," why didn't he just die? Well, look at verse 24. He says, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." So Paul says, right at this very moment, I'd much rather be with the Lord. But God has me here so that I can help you guys out. Folks, why does God have you here right now? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's got something for you to do for Him. And while you're doing it, sometimes it can get discouraging, can't it? And when you get discouraged, you need to think back right here. Hey, number one, this is only temporary. Number two, it's worth it. And number three, one day it's going to be far better. So I show you all this to remind all of us, folks, none of us know the day that we're going to breathe our last breath, do we? We don't know that. None of us know that. But you know what you can know for certain right now? You can know where you will be once you breathe your last breath. So question, you don't have to answer out loud. Where will you be when you breathe your last breath? Whether it's tonight, this week, next month, next year, or 20 years from now, where will you be? Next question, you don't need to answer out loud, but how do you know you will be wherever you said you'll be? Folks, I did not spend but just a few seconds on Luke 16 about hell. And we don't like talking about hell, but we need to talk about hell because it's in the Bible. And the Lord does not want anybody to go to hell. You know why? Guess who hell was prepared for? The devil and his angels. But anybody who is to die without Jesus Christ, you will end up in hell. I'm not being mean, I'm being biblical. So the message tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, why don't you call on Him tonight to save you so that you know for sure where you will be when you die? Now, if you've ever done, if you've ever knocked on doors, go door to door, you ask people a question that's a great question to ask. If you were to die tonight, are you 100% certain where you will be after you die? And I will tell you, a lot of folks can't answer that question. They will say something like, "Well, I hope I'll be in heaven." Now, I showed you some verses tonight that you don't have to hope. You can know for certain. That John 5:24 is one of a whole bunch more I could show you. If you're trusting only in what Jesus Christ did for you and you've asked Him to be your Savior, He has saved you from the penalty of sin. So you can't go to hell. One old preacher said it like this. If you're saved, even if you wanted to go to hell, you couldn't go to hell. Amen? I don't know why you'd want to go there, but you understand what I'm saying. It's impossible for you, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ and His death, burial, resurrection, there's no way you can go to hell. Amen? Now, let's wrap it up. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. You're in wherever you are there. Philippians. Go to Hebrews. Back to your right. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me show you this here. Wrap it up. Hebrews 2. We were in Hebrews this morning. There's a whole lot of good stuff about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ here in Hebrews. And look at verse 14. Hebrews 2:14. Great verse to end on here tonight. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He, that's speaking of Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now watch this. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Look at the words that begin with the letter D there. Verse 14, death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Folks, who is it that destroyed him that had power of death? Who's that about right there? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how he was able to do what that verse says right there? He destroyed death by defeating death. 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what an incredible thing it was when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. All these centuries had passed, and men are dying, and men are dying, and men are dying. And Jesus Christ died, and he didn't stay in the grave. What happened to him? He rose again. Now, if we had a little bit more time tonight, I'd take you over to Job. And we started in Job. And if you go, you write this verse down, Job 19:25. And old Job said, way back long before Jesus Christ, he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. Job was looking forward to a day that there would be the Redeemer show up. That Redeemer is Jesus Christ. You know him? If you know him, you don't have to fear death. I know we don't look forward to it. I know we sorrow when folks die. They're no longer with us. But they're in a whole lot better place if they're saved. Amen? So how about tonight, I want you to think about something. Number one, question number one, are you 100% certain where you'll be when you die? Now, a lot of you might say, yeah, I'm saved. Amen. Amen. You know 100% certain, based on God's word, that you'll be with the Lord after you die. I would guess that probably everybody in here, not most of you, you know somebody that is uncertain or they don't care about what happens whenever they die. You know anybody like that? How about tonight, make it a point to lift them up in prayer and pray for them, that the Lord would show them how important it is that they deal with what we talked about tonight. Because last time I checked, folks, 10 out of 10 people die. I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that as that's the truth. And the reason why people die is because they're sinners. But hopefully you've seen tonight, death is not the end. And if you know Jesus Christ, there's great, oh, what a great thing is coming after you breathe your last breath. Hey, that's how you can be at the deathbed of somebody who's dying, and there can be great joy there, knowing that when they breathe that last breath, they might not be here, and we miss them, but they're with Jesus Christ, which, according to Paul, is far better. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your words. I just pray that you would do your work tonight. I pray that everybody in here, all of us, truly just deal on a one-on-one basis with you about this matter of death and about eternal life through Jesus Christ. I pray that if there's anybody here that's uncertain about this thing, that they would get it right tonight. And also pray that we'd be faithful to lift up people we know that right now would be in hell if they were to die, knowing that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've rejected the free gift of eternal life. I just pray that you'd help us this week to be faithful ministers and witnesses for you in the places that you put us. I know you put us there on purpose, and I pray that we'd be faithful to you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.